This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Wednesday. I know we are. It's your sports bros. Rob, that's me.
Sada.
Big Sooks right over there.
Right here.
With dude.
Ryan Buckley is here. And the great Dan Lanning has already joined us today. He is a day early because of the short week.
I don't mind talking to y'all.
For the Ducks.
Football's football. And the only way to get better at it is to play football.
Therefore, we will show on Friday. We'll just show early.
Noon to 2 on Noon Friday. To 2. Yeah, it's going to be great. I can't wait to do middays, man. Why are you laughing? I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to be a midday host.
Yeah, that big 2 to 12 schedule. I'm not sure that's going to fly with the boss, but I appreciate you.
You mean 12 to 2.
12 to 2.
Yeah, 2 to 12 would be weird.
2 to 12.
That'd be a lot.
That would be a lot, yeah.
If he could get you from 2 to 12, that would be a good deal for him.
That would, yeah, but he couldn't.
What would that 10:30 look like?
Ooh.
That 10:30 segment. Seggy
there. Oh, 10:30 p.m.?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. On our 2 to 12.
2 to 12, that would be a
show.
11:50. We'll wrap it up next on The Fan.
Well, listen, it's going to be fun. We're going to do a special two-hour show. I love two-hour shows because they're easy.
Yes.
And
it's going to be a little weird. Do you think anyone's going to tune in and be like, who the hell are these chuckle butts?
Yeah, they probably will.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it.
Where is Danny and Dusty?
Well, you'll at least have Jeff Rust. He'll be there for that show.
Yeah, Rust will be on.
Buck found a way to weasel his way out.
Weaseled my way right out. It was probably my privilege.
We're here working for you, the people. Meanwhile, Buckley taking the cowardly way out.
That's right.
Good thing we didn't tell Dan Lennon about your cowardly choice.
I know.
Joe Harrington will be on 1:30 on Friday, and then we'll have the game here on The Fan. 6 o'clock kickoff and all the pregame stuff. Because Dusty's on the pregame, right?
Yes. Yes, he is.
So
Dusty's down there. Like, he's down in Eugene like 3 times a week now.
I know. I told you. He's 1 foot out the door.
He's Mr. Duck. He's becoming the Jason Swigard just of the Oregon Ducks.
Dusty Hera on The Fan in 2026?
Yeah, I don't think that duck thing's a full-time gig.
No, I know, but it could lead to something.
Could lead to something. Although Swag's been doing the Portland stuff for years, and it's led to nothing other than the Portland stuff, so...
Here's the situation.
Yeah, you got two different cats there, though.
The budgets might be.
Swag's a lifer.
They might be. Yeah, Swag isn't going anywhere.
And we love him for it.
Yeah.
Swag's the guy that's going to get the big, huge retirement party.
The gold watch sort of
thing. He's going to get the. You and I are not going to. We are going to bow out of here with so little grace.
Yeah.
It's. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's not going to be pretty.
No.
Jason Swigart is the guy that goes out with the big happy hour party, and everybody shows up and showers him with gifts and praise. And
there would be an email that went out for you guys, and you'd be like, "I don't want to go to this. I don't want to go to this crap."
Yeah, it'd be weird.
We don't need it. We don't need any fanfare.
We get it. You love us.
It's a Larry David sort of situation. You know what, guys? It's been good.
You'll miss us.
Let's call it good. But yeah, Swag would want the. How do they say pomp and or circumstance?
And he'll get it.
He'll get it, yes.
He's a staple.
Well, I think he'll be the one that plans it. He'll be like, who's going to be in charge of this? And Swag's
totally.
Like, I got it.
Totally.
I got this.
He's got an event planner for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Coming up tonight in the club. Well, I have the Vince McMahon talk written down here, but
I have not finished Mr. McMahon.
Yeah, we don't have to.
I've not started it, and I plan to.
Dude, you got to watch it. It's really good.
Yeah. It is enthralling.
It is enthralling. It's a Vince McMahon docuseries or documentary on Netflix. It's 6 parts, so it takes a while. But the cool thing about it is that, and this was what was good about it for me, is that I was a wrestling fan, obviously, when I was a kid, Hulk Hogan and all that. But once I actually grew out of wrestling, like most normal men, I didn't follow it. I knew it still existed, and I know it still exists today, but I don't know anything about it. It was really cool because it weaves in the Vince McMahon story, but it also tells the story of what happened in wrestling for all those years.
Yeah,
I mean, for
happened?
30, 40 years. And it's really interesting.
Yeah, that's because I'm early on into it, but that's what they're talking about is that he took over for his dad, and like there was all these regional wrestling like territories. And Vince was the first guy to look at it and be like, well, what if... I just had all the territories, and it was like a controversial thing. So he's a scumbag human being, but he was kind of a genius when it came to that. When we were in Mexico City last week, we went to the Lucha Libres. They have like they have their own arena, right? Like in downtown Mexico City. And it is great. See, it's like maybe like 800 people and they freaking go nuts, and there's no, it's all adults, but like it's church there. It was super ass fun. I haven't been to a wrestling match in 30 years because, well, I'm an adult. But that was a lot of fun.
So anyway, that's Club. We'll have other screwed up celebrity news. And is Frankie Valli doing shows? Is that elder abuse? We discuss.
That is some of the most disturbing footage you will see. Look it up if you want on Twitter or YouTube. Just be prepared.
Jimmy Carter would like a word.
No, dude, this is the only thing I've seen is Ted Williams at the Major League Baseball All-Star game.
Have you seen the Jimmy Carter wheeled out for his 100th?
Oh yeah.
Oh boy, that's bad.
We have Super League talk, college football. We'll check back in on baseball, all kinds of stuff this hour in sports. But right now, the hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Well, hello there.
Number five.
Well, it appears a potential Davante Adams trade out of Vegas is becoming more and more of a reality. The Jets and Saints top his wish list. That's because he prefers to play with the quarterback that he knows.
Have you seen all that goes into that? I mean, it's like it's a full-on soap opera drama with like head coaches liking Instagram posts about trading their players and him giving cryptic interviews. I mean, it's just the most just dumbass like front office thing that you can think of.
Reports are the Cowboys have also checked in on him. He is 31 and he wants out of Vegas ASAP, but at least he has a Taco Bell in his house.
That is true. And the last 2 years of his deal, they're non-guaranteed, and they're massive amounts of money, so none of that matters. This year, he's owed about $13 million left. Pretty much any team could make a deal for him. In fact, there's some rumors that the Raiders would be willing to pay his salary if someone gives up more compensation. So For most teams, it may be a one-year rental, but, I mean, he really can be had by just about anybody. Just saying, second-round pick as a starter, and then you go from there.
Big Ten preseason basketball poll is out. It's never too early to start talking round ball around here, is it, Jason?
Well, we just had Blazer Media Day talking about all that good food.
Purdue 1, Indiana 2, and UCLA 3. Oregon comes in at 6.
Well, just the
maybe
idea,
a little low.
Just the idea that we're talking Big Ten basketball and you mentioned Oregon and UCLA. It's going to take me a while.
Washington 15th out of 18.
At least Altman kind of already feels like a Big Ten guy, middle Midwestern dad.
Yeah. Tough defense.
Yeah, he belongs somewhere. Like, I could see him coaching Purdue. 100%.
For the Ducks, Jackson Schellstad picked second team All Big Ten. They add four transfers to the club this year, including TJ Bamba, who started at Washington State, played at Villanova last year. And Dana Altman pointing to depth being key, as they will have a lot more travel to contend with now being in the Big Ten.
And they were hurt a lot last year.
Yeah,
they had like 8-guy rotation like all year.
They're pretty deep this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting as we get away from football and you get into more of the sports that play multiple times a week to see how that travel affects them.
The 2028 NCAA Women's Basketball Regional is coming to Portland.
All right.
Yeah!
Did I mention? Oh, yeah. NCAA Women's Basketball Regional.
Yeah, not the men's.
Yeah.
But the women.
But a regional. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's great.
So somebody will celebrate here on our floor.
Yeah.
And go to the Final Four.
Have we... I know we've had a regional here?
I think we have, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it was too long ago.
I don't remember that. I remember us
having... What's the matter with you?
Well, I remember us having both tournaments. We've never had a men's regional.
No.
That I can think of.
We have. I think we've had a women's regional, but now I'm second-guessing
myself.
I
think.
Okay.
Elsewhere, according to Sean Hyken, Portland's unnamed WNBA team has over 5,000 season ticket deposits in just 2 weeks.
Tasty. I told you, we're going to support our unnamed team. That is something that will work very, very well here. I mean, the Thorns are one of, if not the best supported women's soccer teams. I would expect the unnamed Portland Rosebuds to be the exact same thing.
Number two.
What else do I have for you here? The Pac-12 finally lets us in on where it's going next, and that's nowhere. The league still needs one more member to get to the required 8 in order to be considered an FBS conference. But they say they are going to pause now to evaluate the next media rights deal. So that what they're going to do is they're going to run multiple hypothetical lineups and membership possibilities. They will not make an offer until this is complete. It could last until the end of the year, and that will all be conducted by a sports and entertainment consulting firm by the name of Navigate.
Yeah, the only thing that you're hearing out there, Sac State is making a big push. They want to elevate themselves, so Sac State saying, please come get me. And then the other one that I've been reading about is that they could make another run at one or multiple, if it makes financial sense, the AAC teams. Again, some version of the Tulane, Memphis, that group that they went after in the first place. They may circle back to that. Because you get outside of that, and there's really not any other options that make sense. So I got to do something. And maybe Sac State being a fallback. Because, you know, they don't have anywhere else to go. Sac State would jump at the opportunity. So at least you got that as like an ace in the hole.
Number one.
Although it's not really an ace, is it?
That's like, it's like a 10 of clubs in the hole.
Well, I don't even know that's a 10 of clubs. I mean, that's more like a 4 of spades. But it's there, you know.
We got something.
Yeah,
the text line is telling us that the women's regional was literally here this year.
Was it really?
I think that's right. Yeah.
Is it?
The women's regional? The women?
What?
Here? Huh? Last year?
What? Yeah, because we got, I think, didn't we get a really marquee game that to finish it off? I think we got Caitlin Clark here or something like that.
We did not get Caitlin Clark.
What are you talking
about? Angel Reese, maybe?
Stop. We did not. I think we had Juju.
Juju Watkins. That's who we had.
Juju was here. Caitlin Clark was not here. Dude, if Caitlin Clark was here, trust me, like the entire town would have lost their S.
And number one, the Royals and Tigers advanced to the American League Division Series with road wins in Baltimore and Houston for the second consecutive day. The O's have now lost 10 straight in the playoffs. Kansas City moves on to meet the Yankees. That final score was 2-1. So we were close.
We were close to our one.
On message. The idea that that there's Cooley. Let's go. You're in for it, pal. That's a Yankee douche right there. Look at that douche. Look at that douchebag. He's already flipping me off. Anyway, what were we talking about?
The Royals. We were hoping the Royals were going to win both games 1-0.
Yeah. But score two runs and win the series. But Dummies scored 3 runs and won the series. The Tigers-Astros game was great. Detroit got a pinch hit, 3-run double from Andy Ibañez in the 8th inning off of Astros closer Josh Hader.
Who no one knew who he was, including Michael Kay, who was doing the game. Like, what? Huh?
But a great way for the Astros to go down. Screw them. In progress, Mets in the 2nd inning lead the Brewers 3-1. Mets win there, and they move on. And then the Padres-Braves later, San Diego can move on in that series with a win.
Yes.
Victorico's Mexican food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victoricos.com. They bring you the Hot 5 at 5. We talk Super League and college football next on The Fan. Someone asked on the Vancouver Ford text line. That's how you reach us here. Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further. Vancouver Ford, they treat you right before, during, and after the sale. VancouverFord.com. Do you guys say drops in your head when you're not on the air? The answer is yes, all the time.
Yeah. The best is the Willamette and, like, go to that lake. I mean, that stuff, Deschutes. But, like, the Caitlin Clark is white. Yeah, that pops into my head.
Dude, I say that all the time. I say drops to try to see if I can tell if people, like, listen to the show.
Yeah.
I will talk to them in drops. If they don't pick up on anything, then I'm like, a listener. They know nothing.
Yeah. But Caitlin Clark has started, like, a race war with, like, journalists and, like, the WNBA. The rest of the WNBA hates Caitlin Clark.
Clark is white.
And anytime I hear a WNBA story, I think about that. Like, recently, who was it, like, a USA, was it Christine Brennan? That is, like, in hot water, apparently, because she was asking a question about the WNBA and Caitlin Clark, and they got all pissy about it. And now the Players Union released a statement about it, and now people are upset because someone pointed out that Caitlin Clark's last playoff game where they lost got, like, 2.3 million people that tuned in. And, like, the Liberty who are rolling right now, they're getting less than 1 million. And now everyone's upset because no one's watching the Liberty play. I love how the rest of the league is doing everything they can to piss all over, like, the best thing they've had in 30
years.
It's
so odd.
I've never seen anything like there. That is a league. And I, like, all for women's sports. Dude, get what you can get. I mean, it's great to see that you're finally getting some acknowledgement, but, like, you have never made $1 in that league. That league has lost hundreds of millions of dollars, has never turned a profit once, not even close. And you get a transcendent star. Like, someone,
and you don't lean in.
That's someone so that everyone cares about, that all she has to do is show up, and she sells out arenas. They have to move games that she plays in to NBA arenas because the demand is so high. Every game she's in breaks records, and yet the WNBA is determined to not give a crap about her and be like, we don't need her. Yes, you do. You do. When her first round playoff exit more than doubles any other game that's going to happen in your playoffs, you might want to lean into the Caitlin Clark thing, and yet they refuse to do it. All they do is complain about how everyone cares about Caitlin Clark. It's amazing.
You know, next to the launch of the Asace brand this year, one of the single greatest things to happen to this program is Asace. Your big, hot WNBA passions.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. Like, I sit over here like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't follow it. I don't care about it.
I was like, what?
But you are so passionate about it. I love it. I love that. That's what we need.
I got thorny, and now all of a sudden I'm ready to get Rose Buddy, whatever the I'm trying to care. I want to care.
I think you're there.
Sport.
I think you are there. It's not fake.
But here's the problem.
People think he's faking this. He gets jacked up about this stuff.
Every time.
And I couldn't care any less.
Every time I read a story about the WNBA players or their league, and their reaction to this newfound success, it makes me not want to watch your sport. You're actively taking someone that couldn't have given two S's about your sport his entire life, and I'm trying to lean in, and you're making it really hard for me because you're so dumb and refuse to acknowledge that you've got a golden goose. That's like a Major League Baseball, you know, that Ohtani guy. He's Japanese. I don't know if you guys know this about him, but he doesn't speak very good English.
Won't that upset all the Latino players?
Yeah, like I think the Latino players are upset. Miggy Cabrera is upset that his Triple Crown wasn't acknowledged. Therefore, let's not talk about Shohei Ohtani. Like, what? This LeBron James guy, I don't like all the attention he's getting.
It seems unfair to Jordan. I just don't know if we can do that.
It's so dumb. It's so dumb.
The next question is, how long will you go on about this? That's the next question.
I can keep going.
I mean, you know, you certainly can. The era.
I'll stop so that you can pay attention again.
The era has become lives rent free in my head.
The era has become.
Here's a guy who says he drops on his wife. What is Colorado Rockies?
Yeah, that's a good
and
one.
She never has any idea what I'm talking about.
That's a great one.
What is Colorado Rockies?
I do throw out the BTJs all the time. And yeah.
She doesn't like that.
No, she just is like,
does she know about the BTJ thing?
Yeah. She just shakes her head now and is like, really? Because people, like if we're out at a restaurant or out at a game, people will come up to her and be like, oh my God, is that BTJ? I'm like, nah, it's just some Asian lady that I found wandering around.
Yeah. Of course it's BTJ.
Yeah. Like, if you see me out and about and there's a Japanese woman with me, chances are that's the BTJ, or is it? And she just shakes her head and like, I don't think she like necessarily minds it, but at the same time, I think in her head, she just thinks, you moron. Like, really?
Why doesn't she like being a fine character on a decent radio program?
She claims that all I do is make her seem crazy. So,
really?
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't think so.
I don't think so at all.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know, people interpret things in very strange ways, particularly when it comes to their name on the radio.
Yes.
People
that's why I tell people don't listen.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
We just don't want anyone to listen, really. The show's just for us.
If you have a personal relationship with us, chances are you're not going to like what's coming out of our mouths.
I can't even remember what it was, but my wife had family coming in from out of town, and they like picked them up from the airport, and they're like, oh, like, no. So Ryan's at work? Like, can we listen to his radio show? And they turned on the Club Hour, and I think we were talking about like sex robots or something like
yes!
that. And like, I can't remember what it was.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Because it didn't come up for like 2 days, and they were about to leave, and they're like, so we heard you on the radio. I'm like, oh, well, when were you guys listening? Thursday around 6:05. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, it gets that way.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it happens.
That's right, bitch. It does get that way.
Take your
what do you think?
Shove it up your
shove up your little kid ass. Hey, go back to where are they
you
from?
Take your Halloween and shove it up your little kid ass.
How about that? Go back and listen to that boring ass sports talk over
shove
there.
Shove that
straight up
that.
Your little kid ass. Anyway, we got to nothing.
No.
Bottom line, their ass.
We got to Caitlin Clark is why.
Well, the new drop that's sticking with me, of course, is the they're eating the pets. My kid got bit at school yesterday, and
what?
The first thing I thought of was they're eating the kids.
They're eating the kids by another kid?
Yeah, they had a fight over a toy.
Ooh, where did he get bit?
On his finger.
Oh no! Did he draw blood?
No.
Did he respond, or did he just?
No. He ran and told the teacher he got bit on the finger.
So you're raising a
little
snitch.
Yeah.
Come on!
Well, he's like the little Aqib Talib of toys. He just snatches whatever he wants, like ripping off the chain off of Michael Crabtree. Like he thinks that every toy is his, and so if someone else has it, he just takes it and he says, 5 minutes, my turn.
Well, anyway,
I think we're getting a glimpse into the Buckley parenting strategy here, raising a selfish kid that likes to snitch. All right.
Well, my.
Cool. Starts with, what was it, speed pillows and ends with your kid snitching. That whiny bitch.
We're getting loose.
Yeah, we are. All right, can we refocus for the love of God?
I blame you.
How did this even start?
Well, your stupid WNBA takes. They're so passionate. It's cute. And I sit over here, and then I lose interest and focus. And
this is what happened.
Maybe you need a new co-host. When the WNBA gets here, maybe they should just replace.
Wait till the Portland Rosebuds are playing.
Wait till you guys are doing the pre and post game.
Let's go.
God, most passionate WNBA post game of all time.
Of all time.
P1 Dwayne says that he often repeats the you have a responsibility to be more responsible.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, somebody called it primetime drop Tourette's. I've had it for years. That's a good way to.
Yeah.
You have a responsibility to your audience to be more responsible.
They just come out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just love when I'm out and about and I hear someone refer to it as the Willametta. That
right in the butt?
That warms my cockles.
That means you listen.
That means you listen.
And the funny one is when you say that and then they're like, you know it's Willametta, right?
Like, no.
It's like, oh, you don't get it.
Thank you for...
You listen to Lars, don't you?
Thank you for telling me that.
The
Daily Dead Fish Rapper.
All right. I've got Super League talk.
Thank
and it's going to blow your
I
mind.
I want some Super League
talk. And I'm going to be passionate about it.
I'm
about as 50% as passionate as Suk is about the stupid WNBA.
Are you out of your mind?
Which I'm sure
Carson Beck is white.
It's a great league and everything. I just don't care. Okay. Can we get to Buck? For God's sakes. Here he is. He has sports.
Caitlin Clark is white.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news,
you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Suk's getting cocky, I'm telling you right now. He's getting Mets cocky, and that's right where I want him when we rip his heart out again in the World Series.
Yeah, they got out of another jam.
Sean Manaea.
Yeah.
Manaea. Sean Manaea. He looks good. Have you seen this Super League idea for college football that came out yesterday?
Yes, the Big Ten SEC expansion Super League thing.
Nope. This is the thing. I think we were talking college football along these lines several weeks ago, and you were looking for this group. You were referencing them, but they've kind of been in the shadows. But yesterday, they, because you couldn't remember who they were, yesterday they came out and they had a big thing and they released their idea for a Super League.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're called College Sports Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember this was like six months ago or a year or something.
They call them
it was dumb then.
Is it the same as the PE group or different?
PE?
The private equity group?
The private equity group was just looking to dump some money into a handful of teams, mainly Florida State. This was, there was a bunch of, like, there were some old people that had been involved in college football, some old ADs and stuff that were trying to launch this thing.
They want to, the private equity group just wants to own your soul.
Yeah.
These guys want to run the league.
Yes.
So it's led by Len Perna. He is of Turnkey ZRG, which is a consulting firm, and Mark Abbott, formerly of the MLS. Another guy involved is Jimmy Haslam, who is the owner of the Browns. Mm-hmm. At one time, isn't he a big like Tennessee booster or something?
That I don't remember. I think he was connected to something, but I remember when he was involved, immediately I rolled my eyes and I was like, dude, if he's involved, this thing's going nowhere.
It's a group of what they call
Tennessee donor.
Disruptive sports executives, and they have revealed a radical pitch for new age college football. Okay, and this is dumb.
Yeah, and it'll never happen, but.
And it will never happen.
No.
But worth throwing out there because, as Jimmy Haslam said, and he is right, while it's not perfect, it is definitely the most comprehensive plan out there. This is kind of what the SEC and the Big Ten are talking about. Mm-hmm. This is the only group I've heard that actually says, here is what it should look like. Okay, and it's not going to happen.
No.
But here's what they want to do. So they will incorporate all 130 teams into the College Student Football League.
Which is why this won't happen, is because it includes everybody. But.
The CSFL.
Yeah.
They break it into two tiers, different divisions based on geography. The top 72 schools are in 12 six-team divisions. In the West, they will have BYU, Utah, Oregon, Oregon State, Washington, Washington State. They will play 13 games. Best performers in one season play the toughest schedules the next. Historic rivalries will be given precedence over non-division games. Mm-hmm. The other 64 teams in college football dump into 8 divisions in a lower tier. They play for 2 spots in a 24-team playoff. So, and these bros admit that the entire ecosystem they're talking about here must, the entire model that they're talking about here must be supported by the whole college football ecosystem, which will never happen.
Good luck.
Nope.
But they would share TV revenue, and that even legally can't happen because they'd have to go to Congress.
And it's not collectively bargained, which would have
not
to
yet.
Happen.
Well, they said that they would. So the players would have a players association, and they would have a CBA. Players would only get 2 transfers in a 5-year window. They would have a salary cap, salary floor. They would have pay scales for NIL based on position and usage on the field. Their argument is they will make way more money with a better model, which helps helps schools pay players better because schools are freaking out about that. Mm-hmm. He said 94% of the revenue would go to the top 72 in the top tier. Only 6% goes to the other 64, so good luck getting them on board. Mm-hmm. But they said that, hey, it's a much larger pie to split. So the larger shares would go to the programs that drive the most viewers and win the most games. And if you wanted to see a sort of a graphic of how they break down the leagues, it's pretty, I mean, it's all by geography. Sure. So it's pretty simple to figure out. But it's very uniform. And, you know, again, it's not perfect, but it's the most comprehensive plan there is out there. And I can't wait to see, because the reason I bring this up is this is some sort of structure like this is what's going to end up happening. It's where we're headed. It's just a matter of who's going to do it. Is it going to be the Big Ten and the SEC and everybody else? Like, you know, yeah. It's hard to predict. You know, it's like Hunger Games out there right now.
But what I will predict with 100% assurity is that this will never happen.
Well, yeah. And they know that. They know it's a long shot. But I think it's cool to finally get people putting pen to paper and coming up with an actual plan. And if college football would actually do this, we could get to the finish line faster on this.
I have concepts of a plan.
This is concepts of a plan.
The biggest hurdles in this is why, like, everyone always talks about parity, right? I always hear this from the smaller guys. We need more parity. Why? Why would anyone who is at the top want more parity? And unless you get the boys at the top, which are the only ones that really make money and drive ratings, you can't have it. So I know the system seems rigged because it is. But why would Georgia, Ohio State, Bama, all those schools, and then the other feeder fish that don't do anything, the Purdue's of the world and the Vanderbilts that get to go along for the ride, why would any of them open themselves up to splitting the pie more ways? I mean, the only thing that is realistic that will happen is the SEC and the Big Ten will just gobble up a couple more schools and then be like, we're going to do our own thing. And that you guys can kind of participate in it if you play by our rules. Other than that, good luck. And all of this stuff, you know, everyone always comes up with these plans. But again, none of it actually makes any sense because until you pay the players, make it professionals, have it collectively bargain, have a union. And you're talking about, think about how hard it is to get 32 owners on board and a players union with how many players. And now you're going to do that with how many schools were it?
130.
Have fun. I mean, it's just, it's.
Yeah, I think
it's a silly notion. This is like. It's like us all sitting together and finding out how every American can, like, can live a great life, and you know, it's like the kind of the American dream, and it's just it's never going to happen. There's always going to be the haves and the have-nots, and it's always the have-nots that are screaming, and it sucks. But
the haves are never going to come back to the middle. That's not happening.
It's not happening.
But wouldn't the answer to your question of what would make them go for a structure like this, isn't the answer just money?
Yeah, but
the bigger money, I mean. So the question is how much money would how many teams are in the Big Ten and the SEC? I don't even know now. There's so many. Yeah. So it's like
Big Ten's 18
and 16, right?
18, 16. So 34 teams. Mm-hmm. So is the pie, if you're only televising those games, mm-hmm. and that's your big media deal, is 34 teams, yeah. and that's split 34 ways, is your payout for that, being in that, better or worse than if you had a complete 130 team structure? And again, even in this model, there are haves and have-nots. Yeah. And it depends on what the TV money is for teams 35 through 130.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get all the way down to team 89 and you're realizing there just is no value there, and that very well may be the case, yeah. Money-wise, then the teams are going to stop and say, no, we don't want that because it doesn't pencil.
Yeah.
But the only way, to your point of them going for it, is if in the end, the biggest money, the biggest share comes from including everyone. And I don't have an answer to that question. Nobody does. I just think it's cool that people are finally trying to say, okay, here's how we should structure this. Because it's going to take us a long time to get to what actually ends up being the structure as the Big Ten fights against, yeah. you know, and the Group of Five fights against, you know, it's just a battle. It's kind of annoying for a fan when we can all see where this is headed, but we just don't know the structure. I would like to skip like 8 steps and get to the structure, and then maybe then we'll have a better product.
The problem is that the Big Ten is in line to put almost $100 million in people's pockets. So just the idea of the top 40 teams, okay? Top 40, not the top 100 and whatever, 40. Get 40 teams. To even break even to what the Big Ten is going to put into your pocket, just for those teams alone, you'd have to come up with $4 billion a year. And by the way, that number is going to have to jump because you're going to have to pay players, and the expenses are going to go up, and the access to the playoffs and everything is going to get harder because it's going to be spread thinner. I mean, the amount of money you're talking here, unless this becomes the NFL where you are literally bringing in $10, $11, $12 billion a year. And then at that point, you're just a piss poor version of the NFL. Like, I mean, at some point, I know college football is valuable, and I know there's money to be made, but, you know.
Yeah, so you're saying it's law of diminishing returns as you keep going down the list.
Yeah.
And that very well may be true. What some people might suggest is that isn't true. If you include everyone, the pie will be biggest.
But
not everybody gets the same cut of that pie. Yeah. As you know, obviously in this model, they have the highest rated teams getting more, and actually only 6% going to the bottom 64 teams. So that's a very big have and have nots gap.
I'm just right telling there. You, just the Big Ten money over 30 or 40 teams, already you are at an astronomical number to come up just to cover those teams.
Well, and that's probably why they structure it as, and I'm sure they've run the numbers on this. That's probably why they structure it as this top 72 get 94% of the money.
There's also a reason why there's not 60 teams in the NFL, and why there's not 45 teams in Major League Baseball. At some point, you do run out of money. It's like the same thing with conference expansion, right? Like, anytime you add a team, you have to give someone another piece of the pie. And the networks, I don't care who you are, NFL, NBA, eventually the leagues come to you and be like, yeah, we're not giving you any more money.
Yeah.
Like, we don't, there's not enough inventory to go around. Like, these numbers don't do anything.
Have you just stumbled across the greatest idea of all time, and that is another NFL?
NFL part two.
Portland could get a team.
There you go.
What if you did it indoors, like in an arena?
We could put it in Tualatin, or is it Tualatin?
Yeah.
The mayor wants it.
The mayor wants it. Yeah. It's just, you know, I
don't know. I have more optimism for it working out for everybody than you do, but I'd have to see the numbers. I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's a matter of when you get all the way down to the bottom, what value is there? Because there's a ton of TV networks. There's a ton of, you know, every, you know, all these schools, even all the way down to the bottom, have fans. that watch games.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of what pencils and what doesn't. Obviously, when you're the Big Ten in the SEC right now, you know you're the king and you want to stay the king. This is just business.
I just know you start handing out checks to teams that no one really cares about. I mean, you do it to an extent now, but you just start expanding that. I don't know, man. There is a limited amount of funds that people are writing checks for. And when you see like the Mountain West or like the Pac-12, the restructure Pac-12 isn't a bad league. It's not, you know, Oregon State, Washington State, Boise State, you know, there's some good schools in there that do decent numbers, right? That people watch and people care about. And the networks look at that and you know what they're going to say? That's worth $10 million per school. You know,
well, we'll see. Again, a lot of it's about growing the audience, getting more eyeballs when the structure is better, and tapping into, you know, the $10 million for schools, just media. We're not talking about other revenue streams. It's just a whole league, a business league, like the NFL. You're talking about merchandise. You know, yeah. There's so much stuff that goes in on involved in this, that this, which is why I say that the revenues in college football, I mean, it is crazy to think how much money they have left on the table all these years with their current model. They're eventually going to wake up and figure out how much money they can make. And maybe that includes all 130. I guess we'll see. Coming up next, we're going to check back in on baseball. You know, there was a guy last night for the Padres that did something no one has ever done in the history of the world.
It's pretty cool.
I got to backtrack.
You're already backtracking on that?
Yeah, I don't know
about
the world.
In the history of the postseason.
In the history of the playoffs in the U.S. Is that better?
In the state of California.
Is that hot?
China. In Major League Baseball.
In the Western Texas.
Could have happened in the minors. We don't know.
On a Tuesday.
That's next on The Fan. All right. Back to the baseballs, the real sport. My Royals have advanced.
My Mets looking good right now. 3-1.
No,
it's only the fourth. This game feels one of those that's just like dragging on. A lot of deep at-bats.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Runners left on base.
Brewers are gripping a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
They need to win this to survive to another day. The Tigers advance. And the Padres are looking pretty good. Nobody's really talking about the Padres.
No,
but they look pretty good.
They were sniffing around the Dodgers. You know, it's a couple games that last series meant something.
Yeah. They got they got that Michael King guy. He pitched last night. He came over in the Juan Soto trade. From the Yankees, mm-hmm. And I'm sure the Yankees would like him back, although they probably wouldn't trade Soto. But
no.
King, he is the first pitcher in postseason history with 12 or more strikeouts, no walks, no runs, and a win.
Run that by me again? That's never happened?
He is the first pitcher in postseason history with 12 or more strikeouts, no walks, no runs, and a win.
That can't. That's him. No way.
That's what I said.
There's no way. Stunned by it, too. I got to imagine that somebody has either had a walk or has not picked up the win and had similar numbers.
I think
numbers.
That's right.
Huh.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow. That is. I mean, I know that's an impressive stat line. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, you would have thought that would have happened.
Yeah, like, I mean, for God's sakes, like Jack Morris in the World Series went, what did he go, like 10 innings? You know?
Yeah, but he didn't give up, are you talking about the Twins, Tigers?
It was the Twinkies.
Let's look up his line in that game.
Did he give up a run?
I think he did.
Okay, that would, dude, that's bananas. Are we sure this isn't like in your first start?
I saw the it was from what's that who put that out there, Buck? Opiate stats or whatever. opiates. They're on opiates.
I'm sure it's opiate stats. Yes.
Who doesn't like opiates? I like to get all high.
Optostats.
Optostats.
I like to get all high at night and then just look up stats. Get them in my opium den.
Okay, so Morris threw 10 shutout innings.
Yeah.
He probably didn't have the strikeout numbers, though.
I was going to say, I thought that was a shutout, but remember they tried to take him out, and he's like, yeah, no, kiss my ass. Like, we're doing this.
Yeah, he was a badass, Jack Morris.
I just, that's I would have never guessed that to be a thing.
122 pitches. Yeah, he walked 2 and struck out 8. So you can't walk anybody. And you have to have more than 12 strikeouts. That's what it is.
Yeah,
it's that.
See, because when I saw it, is it first pitcher with 12 Ks, no runs or walks in his first career postseason start. But it doesn't.
No, they're just saying
they're
that
just
was
saying
his.
It was his first postseason start.
Yeah, because that wouldn't be that special if it were just only guys of their first
start. That's awesome. I did
Michael King. Everybody.
They always say that John. When you watch baseball, you can see something that you've never seen before.
The other thing about that, so the Juan Soto trade is interesting. You know, obviously he's kicking butt for the Yankees. Mm-hmm. But the Yankees are in good shape. But at the same time, you know, so the Padres got Michael King in that deal. One of the prospects that came over was moved to Chicago for Dylan Cease. So the Padres right now are sitting there with Michael King and Dylan Cease, and yes, they would like Juan Soto, but he wasn't that great for them last year.
Let's play the fun game of how much salary we have for with two key contributors versus what Juan Soto makes and is going to make.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. Because, the Yankees are going to have to pay Juan Soto a gajillion.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine King makes all that much.
No, I want to.
I think Cease does, though.
I'm interested to see what, because, I mean, they're paying Juan Soto $31 million. And he's going to want,
50, 60?
Yeah, they're talking just one of the, I'm sure they're going to look for Shohei Ohtani money. I don't know if they'll get it, but I'm guessing that contract's going to probably start per year with a six. And we'll see what they make over there. Because that's one of those, I mean, I know, baseball, it's money isn't everything, but certainly makes the difference if it's a two-for-one thing and they cost a third of the price.
Yeah. Who's more dangerous right now? I'm gonna leave this one up to Giant Boy, who is never. He doesn't have a team in the playoffs.
Never had one either.
Loser.
Who feels more danger? Power rank the danger. Padres, Royals, Tigers, Mets.
Padres, Royals, Tigers, Mets. I feel like the Tigers are the least danger. Padres, Royals, Tigers, Mets.
By the way, King and Cease together make a little over $11 million.
Yeah. It's interesting.
I don't know. You give me two arms.
Yeah. And the Padres still have Tatis, Machado.
I think I'll take the two arms at $11 million as opposed to Soto at 31. It's about to be 60.
I think I want to say the Friars are the most dangerous there. And okay. Then followed by the Mets, agreed. Followed by the Royals, followed agreed. By the Tigers.
Okay. All right. I think the Tigers are a little bit more dangerous than the Royals. Better lineup top to bottom.
They have this weird collection of parts thing going on. I just don't see them being like they scare me by far the least, but it's because they don't have like the one superstar thing going on at all.
Well, they got Scooble and he's nasty.
Yeah, he's great.
But after him, I don't know. Tigers, Royals, take your pick. We'll see. Tigers moving on to take on the Guardians and the Royals moving on to take on the Yankees, the hated Yankees. Ryan Cooley is already being a douche. I have texted the great Mike Lynch and told him I can't wait to dance because it's Mike Lynch versus me.
Yeah. Well, you're up against everybody at this point, you know.
Well, the Yankees, they're up against everybody.
It's the evil empire.
Yeah. Nobody likes the Yankees.
Actually, there's a lot of Yankee fans.
Well, I just mean outside of Yankee fans. It's them against the world. Yes. Everybody's a Royals fan now, right?
I would hope so.
You better be.
Yeah, Yankees fans are the Cowboys fans.
Yeah,
of
no one's rooting for the
Yankees. If you don't have a dog in the fight, you better not be rooting for the Yankees. Although, can I say that, the Dodgers, I don't mind the Dodgers. If they play the Mets.
Well, I like Shohei.
Yeah, and that makes the Dodgers more likable. I know they're the evil empire on the West Coast, but I don't feel the same way about the Dodgers that I do the Yankees.
Yeah, I think Shohei makes it a little more palatable.
Yeah.
But I do kind of.
I just don't. I don't know. I don't find them particularly hateful. I just don't. And I should.
Well, you are a hateful man.
I try not to be. But it happens from time to time. I hate the Braves.
So. See, there you go being hateful.
Yeah. I'd say of the teams in the postseason, the only two that I hate, there's three. The Astros, who are gone.
Yes.
Screw them. I hate the Yankees. And I hate the Braves. Other than that, I don't have an issue with anybody.
By the way, the guy, Ibanez, who hit the three-run double off of Josh Hader today.
Yeah.
For the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
He did a thing at second base where he looked up to the sky and he just did this.
Okay. Like a double hand sort of.
Kind of like it's about time sort of thing. Or, I don't know. It kind of felt like.
Questioning why did this happen earlier, Lord?
Dude, it was for all of us. That was for all of us.
That's for all
that
of
was,
us?
That was not a personal thing. That was, finally, we have taken out the stupid, effing, cheating Astros. Lord, where have you been for 7 years?
It does feel good.
You know?
It feels good to eliminate them. If the Astros lose and the Braves lose, I can live. Like, I'll be fine. I'll be fine with it. At that point, you know, though the Yankees.
Best World Series matchup.
Best World.
Well, I mean, take your Mets out of it.
I gotta take the Mets out of it. Take the Mets out of it because that's just.
What do you want to see, Buck?
That's cheating.
Well, it's complicated because I really do think that like a Yankees Dodgers would be awesome. But I mean, we don't need to see the Yankees win again. But and I'm no Dodgers fan, but I think that would be cool to see the the Titan Judge against
Ohtani. Who would you root for?
What's that?
Who would you root for in that? You're a Giants guy. You got to root for the Yankees.
Yeah, I would probably have to root for the Yankees.
Have that.
I know. I'm just saying though, from an entertainment value, that's the series I think that would be the most entertaining.
It's it's by far the best series.
Star power.
Yeah, it's by
Ohtani,
far.
Ohtani, Freeman, Betts, Judge, Soto,
because when you look in the American League, I mean, the only one that carries any sort of huevos is the Yankees.
Yeah.
The Tigers, Guardians, Royals.
Yeah,
it's not going to move a needle. So it's New York, and on the National League side. There's some juice. I think the Mets, Phillies, Padres.
All the teams have juice in the NL.
Even the Braves. Like, there's just, the worst of them is probably the Padres and the Mets. But like Philly or LA versus New York and
would be really fun.
That's the one.
I'm gonna change it up on you. If it's not my Royals, mm-hmm. I'm gonna go Yankees, Padres, and the Padres beat them in Game 7 with a walk off. Grand Slam by
Cronenworth.
No, I'm thinking of like Solano.
Donnie Barrels.
You need someone. You just
walk off Granny.
I was doing it Granny style. I'd flip it and give me
jacked a Granny.
You jacked a Granny today.
Wow.
And give me Philly and New York. And Harper has the defining moment of an MVP career and gets his due as one of the very best players of his generation. And give me Bryce Harper MVP walk off style. I don't even need it to be a Granny. Bryce Harper walk off style. I could live with that.
All right, we'll get on to the club next. We have screwed up celebrity news, a little Vince McMahon talk maybe. We've got the latest on Diddy. And is Frankie Valli doing shows elder abuse? You have a little homework. Go look up the Frankie Valli.
He may be dead.
It's
possible.
Look up the Frankie Valli concert.
I am warning
videos.
You. I'm warning you right now,
dude. There's something, and we can't really play him for you because he doesn't really sing.
No,
so
you just have to.
You
see
wouldn't
him.
Hear it. You have to see them.
Us.
It's like Joe Biden meets Zombieland.
I'll tell you this: if you've ever thought to yourself, boy, Joe Biden is really spry. He is moving around.
This guy will make you
that is only because he was standing next to Frankie Valli.
That's right. Go check it out, and then we'll talk about it. The club is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.